when you get out in the workplace, Mirtz Hashem, you'll be very successful financially.
Amen.
The biggest reason to work is what?
Money.
Getting paid. So a mitzvah that is a strong byproduct of earning money is giving tzedakah. So our topic today and next week is tzedakah. This week we're going to focus on the concepts, how much to give, is it the Raisa, is it the Rabbanan. Next week is going to be a fascinating topic, going through the actual computation of the tzedakah. So we're going to go through what's included in revenue, what deductions can you take, if any, for example, business expenses, personal expenses, taxes, to arrive at a net income, how much should be given. So that's going to be next week. Oftentimes we think, well, we've got to make a lot of money in order to give meiser, in order to give tzedakah, but truth be told, oftentimes the giving of the tzedakah helps us earn more money. A student who learned here in yeshiva told me the following story, and I have heard and seen a number of similar stories to this, but this is because somebody was in the yeshiva, so I'm going to tell his story, also a very good story. He was working at an accounting firm in London, and he said that the way they worked in London in the accounting industry, or at least at this company, was that bonuses and raises were based on your performance. So there was someone the same year, the same grade level as he was, and they were graded by project. One time, one would get an A, the other would get a B, and they would go vice versa. So they were pretty lockstep going together as they were graded throughout the process. One time they were having a conversation, and somebody told to the student who had learned here, we'll call him John, "John, do you want to make a co-investment with me? I'm making an investment. Do you want to put some money in?" And John said, "I don't have availability right now of any free cash because I give 10% of what I earn to charity." And his co-worker laughed at him, saying, "Why are you bothering doing that? You could be making productive investments with that money." The conversation ended there. The next week, there was a review of the grade level to see who would get raises. And John got a raise, and the other person did not. And the amount of the raise was 10%. The amount of tzedakah, ma'aser, that he had been giving. So that happened to a student that learned here. There are many stories as we go through. Maybe I'll tell some more of them. So the concept of tzedakah is actually based on psukim in the Torah. In Parshas Re'eh, it says that we should not harden our hearts. When somebody asks for tzedakah, we shouldn't close our hands, but rather, ki patoach tiftach lo, we should rather open our hands and supply the needs of the poor, of those who are poverty-stricken, the amount of the needs that they have. So we see from these psukim that it's a mitzvah, or multiple mitzvahs, del reis, a biblical, to give charity. It's also negative prohibitions. There are negative prohibitions to not give tzedakah. So obviously, this is a very important topic for us. But in the psukim, it doesn't mention there the amount to give. Doesn't mention the amount to give of ma'aser. So we're going to have to get into the concept of 10% or more or less come from. So the Rambam tells us as follows, Yitzchak, hifrish ma'aser, was indeed Yitzchak Avinu that gave ma'aser. Ma'aser meaning what? How much is ma'aser?
10%.
10 from the word? Esther. From the word Esther. So he tithed. That's how they commonly say it in English. He tithed. He gave 10%. So he says that was Yitzchak who instituted that, and there's actually a pasuk to back that up in Bereishis Chaf Vav Yud Beis. When Yitzchak was living in Gerar, it says that he planted the fields and it yielded 100 times that would be expected. And Rashi says, why is the Torah telling us this? Because that's what Yitzchak used to compute his meiser, his tithes. So the Rambam tells us that Yitzchak that instituted gave it 10%. On that Rambam, the Raiva disagrees and says it was even before Yitzchak, was Avram Avinu that instituted. See, Avram Avinu gave 10% when? When he recaptures Lot, who was taken into captivity. It says that Avraham gave to Malki Tzedek 10% of everything he had. So the Raiva is telling us it wasn't Yitzchak, it was even before Yitzchak, was Avram. And we see, this is actually a very famous pasuk, when Yaakov was fleeing from his dear brother Esav, after Yaakov took the inappropriately stole the brachas from Esav, which he didn't do, obviously. Esav was on the warpath to get a Yaakov. Yaakov davens to Hashem, saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please get me out of this pickle that I'm in. And the kol asher titenli, what's the rest of the pasuk? Aser asrenulach. Everything that you give me, I will give meiser from it. So there, the Balei Tosfos, the Das Kenmi Balei Tosfos says there's a medrash Yaakov tikein lases meiser mina mamon. So there's, it was actually Yaakov who instituted. So there's an opinion that it was Avram. There's an opinion that it was Yitzchak. There's an opinion that it was Yaakov Avinu that instituted maaser. Again, the concept of tzedakah is deoraisa. Our question then is, how about giving meiser? Where do we get that concept of 10% from? So the first view is that it's from the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There is a second view that it's based on the Poshuk in Re'eh, Aser Taser, Kol Tvuas Zarecha, Hayotze Hasadeh Shana Shana. That's the mitzvah of Meiser Sheni, tithing our produce in the field. So just like we would give tithes from the produce in the field, we also give financial tithes from money that we may earn. For example, like what? Biggest
investments?
Is investments? Salary? Inheritance? What?
Revenues.
What types? Revenues?
From a business.
From business?
Just property.
Distributions?
Like real estate property? Do you count that in?
Rentals? If you get rental income? If you get rental income? Tips? Interest earned on a bank account? This would all be included in what we would give Meister on. So the Sifrei.
Grants.
Grants could be. Could be. Grants is a little difficult. If it's granted for a specific purpose, maybe not. It's a little bit difficult. Yeah?
Before or after taxes?
Ah, good. That's next week, Amir Tashem. That obviously has a big impact on how much you have to give. So the Sifri on this pasuk says, Aser to Aser et kol tfuah zarecha, that we give Meiser from all the tfuah. It says, why do we need the words eskol? It could simply say, aser to aser, tfuah zarecha. You should give meiser from the tfuah, from the yields of your crops. Why does it have to say eskol, from all of the yields of your crop? So the Sifri says as follows, these two words, eskol, lerabos, is coming to include ribis, when you receive interest, pragmatia, business earnings, v'kol sha'ar revachim shechayivim meiser, and all other revenues that you receive, that you have to give Meister on it. So based on the Sifri, it could be that the concept of Meister is a Del Raisa, because it's based on extra words in a Pasuk, Eskol. So there is a minority of view in the Pasuk, not only that the mitzvah of Tzedakah is a Del Raisa, the conceptually, when it's going to give Tzedakah, but the amount of 10% is also a mitzvah or Chiyuv Del Raisa. Yeah?
So are we making a distinction that it's all money that is earned? So what if you find a bag full of $1 million?
That's very good. Next week we're going to get more into revenues, and we'll talk about, for example, how about if your parents give you money for a down payment on a house? Mm-hmm. How about if you receive for your bar mitzvah or your chasana a shas, and it has 20 volumes? Do you have to give two of the volumes also to tzedakah? So Amir Tashem, we'll get into revenues next time. Okay, let me keep on going, and then we'll open up for some questions. So the minority view is that this concept of meiser, the amount meiser 10%, is deoraisa, but that is not the way we paskin. The second view is that it is a mitzvah derabanan. Many poskim are of the view that meiser giving 10% is rabbinically ordained. Tzedakah, charity, is deraisa, but the amount of 10% is derabanan. There's a third view that it's neither deraisa nor derabanan, but it is a minhag. It is a strong custom to give the amount of charity of 10%. So the Bach, a major commentary on the Torah, says as follows, Masha adam maser mi masha marviach, that which one gives 10% from what he earns, b'masa umatan kiksafim, with business earnings or whatever, or shar revachim, other revenue that you receive, eino chayav lo min haTorah v'lo min derabbanan. You don't have to give meiser biblically or rabbinically. It is a custom. Now the son-in-law of the Bach, the Taz, says, I don't understand what my father-in-law is saying, because it's clear in Shulchan Aruch that it's an absolute obligation to give meiser. He says, I really don't know what he's saying. But nonetheless, many poskim are of the view that ma'aser is also, is specifically a minhag, it is not deraisa or derabanan. The Tzitz Eliezer says it as follows. He says, explaining that Bach, how can it not be deraisa, how can it not be derabanan, how can it be only a custom? he distinguishes between the obligation, doing it, or the fulfillment of a mitzvah. In other words, he says, chiyuv al-kach lecha, there's no obligation to give 10%, but if you do give 10%, you fulfill a mitzvah, you fulfill an obligation. So that's how he divides up between the doing is not obligated, but the fulfillment, you indeed fulfill a big mitzvah by giving ma'aser. The achronim, as a bottom line, debate whether it is the Rabbanan or a Mina giving 10%. The Tzitz Eliezer says, Das Rov HaPoskim, the majority view of the Poskim is Ma'aser Kesafim is a rabbinic obligation. Giving 10% is rabbinically required according to the majority of Poskim. The Minchas Yitzchak says, no, the majority of Poskim say it's a custom. So we have a debate between the Achronim, what the majority view is. Is it the Rabbanan or is it a custom? If it is a custom, there is actually a chumrah attached to it. What if you do something that's not required three times, for example, if you get a chazakah, or even one time possibly? What happens then? It becomes obligatory. It becomes required. It's a neder. It's as if you made an oath to do it. So because of that, if ma'aser kesafim is a minhag, but it's a minhag that somebody does and accepts upon himself, that actually may become attain the status of a neder. It becomes a deraisa, biblical obligation for him to do. So based on that, the Minchas Yitzchak says, as follows, in Farnag Chayin, if you already were giving ma'aser, Nas and neder ve'ino liyachol afkiu, you have to continue. You can't get rid of that neder that you've made. Accordingly, if somebody is going to be starting to give ma'aser, he should make a tnai at the beginning how you are going to give ma'aser. How are you going to do your computation? And in addition, that it will be bli neder. If you can't continue giving ma'aser, that you are allowed to stop, so it will not become a neder. Okay. Quick questions.
Can you make hataras in the ring?
The post can discuss that. The post can discuss it, and we will see Amir Chassam next time. There are times that you can do to change how you compute. Okay, so how much do you have to give? Let's get back to this. So we've been talking about tzedakah in general and ma'aser, 10% in specific. There are actually three different amounts given in the Gemara. So we're going to have to go through the three different amounts discussed and see to whom what amount applies to. So the Gemara in Gittin, Zayin Amud Beis, says as follows, Amar Marzutra, Afilu oni hamitfarnes minat tzedakah yaset tzedakah. Even a person who is receiving charity should be giving charity. Doesn't say how much. But everyone's got to give. Even a recipient of tzedakah has to give tzedakah. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Tessa Maralef, says, Amar Avasi le'olam, Al-Yimna Adam Atma Milase Shlishis HaShekel Bashana. The minimum to give in a given year, any year, is a third of a shekel. We're not talking about the current shkolim. We're talking about shkolim at the time of Chazal. I did a computation how much that would be. And it comes out to approximately $2 per year. $2 per year would be the minimum amount to give, a little bit more than $2. It was in 2012 dollars. Was $2, so now 2015, probably a 3% inflation rate, so it's what, $2.06 or something like that, however it computes out. So we're not talking a lot of money in order to fulfill the mitzvah of doing tzedakah. We're obviously not talking about ma'aser here. The Ritva explains, where is this amount of a third of shekel, that at the time of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, everyone had to give on an annual basis how much? Machatzisa shekel. And the currencies were changed a little. So just like everyone used to give a half a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, nowadays our obligation to pay in for the general welfare of Klal Yisrael would be a third of a shekel, approximately $2. So here we see $2, 8 shekel, how many rand? 20. To 30 million? 20 pesos. Okay, so not a lot of money. But there we also saw that there is a concept of ma'aser, 10%. So there's a third of a shekel, $2 approximately. There's also a concept of a ma'aser based on aser to aser. There's the Gemara, just an important side point, aser to aser. The drasha on that pasuk is aser bishvil shetitasher. You should give ma'aser in order to become wealthy. That there's a great bracha by giving tzedakah. That's what we saw by the story of John. He was giving tzedakah, and it was him who got the 10% raise and not his co-worker. So there's a Gemara in Tainus that makes that drasha, and there's a Tosfos that makes a drasha as follows, that if you give tzedakah, you'll have a bracha of continued financial wealth. However, aser ta'aser, es calls tvuas arecha, yotze aser shana shana, makes a drasha on the second part of that pasuk that comes out of your field every year. Im lo ta'aser, sadcha kahogen lo yilecha. If you don't give proper meiser from your field, you will only have the amount that you were giving as meiser. You will only have the 10% amount. So if we are giving meiser to the needy, we'll have tremendous bracha. If we don't give the meiser, we will only receive 10% of the yield. And this Tosfos brings an unbelievable story of a man who had a field, a very productive field. It yielded the amount of 1,000 kor, whatever that measurement is, 1,000 kor every year. And every year he gave 10% to tzedakah. How much did he used to give? 100. Help me out, guys.
100 kor.
Thank you. So 100 kor. 10% of 1,000 is 100. So he used to give 100 kor every year. He became elderly. He was about to pass away, and he tells to his son, "I'm about to pass away. The field is going to be yours. It's an incredible field. Produces a high yield, but you have to be careful to give 10%, 100 kor every year to charity." Okay, not a problem. Father passes away. Son takes over the family business, takes over the field. First year, it yields 1,000 kor. He gives how much? 10% 100 to tzedakah. Then he says, second year, b'shana shniya nistakel. Second year, he looks around and he says, v'ra ben shemaser hayadover gadol. Giving 10%. That's too big an expenditure. That's too big a line item on my P&L, on my profits and loss statement. So he decides not to give. That year, how much did the field yield?
100 kor,
10%. So now, he's in sorrow. He's feeling terrible. Not that he didn't give tzedakah, but he's feeling bad that he didn't make as much money. He only yielded 100 kor. So his relatives found out what happened. They dress up in white, Tosfos tells us, dress up in white celebratory clothing, and they come in front of him celebrating. So he gets upset at them, says, "It looks like you're celebrating my downfall. What are you doing?" And they respond to him as follows, "Who did it to you? You did it to yourself by not giving tzedakah." And they say, our drasha on the pasuk, before, when you gave tzedakah, you were the owner of the field, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Kohen. He was getting 10%, and he was allocating it to the needy. But if you don't give your charity, a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the field over. He becomes the balabais, and you become the recipient of the meiser amounts. You receive the 10%. So here we have a second amount, 10%. First amount was a third of shekel. Second amount is 10%, and then there's a third amount. Anyone want to guess what the third amount is?
20%.
Thank you, Aiden. 20%. The Gemara Ksuba says as follows, Amar Rabbi La, Be'usha, Hiskinu, and Usha, a certain place at the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, Gadol sat. They were when they were unfortunately sent off from the Beis of Mikdash. The Sanhedrin, Gadol had to relocate approximately 10 times. So in Usha, when they were sitting in Usha, Hiskinu, Hamevazvez, Al Yevazvez, Yoser Mechomesh. Somebody who's giving tzedakah should give no more than Chomesh. Chomesh is from the word Chamesh, which means 20%. When you're giving tzedakah, give no more, a cap of 20%. Why would Chazal cap the amount of tzedakah we can give? Shema yitzdarach lebrios, because you should not spend too much and then put yourself in the situation to be a recipient of tzedakah. So Chazal said 20% is the cap, no more than 20%. Micro, so where did they learn this from? From the pasuk of Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov said, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take care of me, I'll give Maaser, v'chol asher titen li, aser asher nilach." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me from Esav, everything you give me, I will give Maaser. It says not Maaser, it says aser asrenu, it says two times. Aser asrenu, so it's 10% and 10%, 20% would be the capped amount. Now, that's the Bavli. There's a Yerushalmi that says that the Usha decree was not a cap of 20%, but that it's a mitzvah to give 20%. That's very different. Very different. Be'usha, nimnu, shiyei adam mafrish chomesh min nechas of the mitzvah. In Usha, they decreed that somebody should give 20% of his assets as a mitzvah, as a preferred vehicle. In other words, it's better to give 20% than 10%. So our question then is, how do we bring all of these things together? We have a third of a shekel, we have 10%, and we have 20%. So let me introduce a concept. Who here has paid taxes before? Okay, who here has computed taxes before? So in the United States and other places, there's such a concept of tax brackets. Any accountants here? What's a tax bracket? How does that work?
It goes based on income in like different brackets. Whether income up to a certain amount, you pay a certain percent, a higher percent, then you. It goes gradually higher.
So it's a graduated tax. Yeah. That's what we have in the United States. Graduated, meaning the more you earn, the more you pay in. The higher percentage. Those have different percentages, but in general, when you have incomes, when you have various types of income, so here I've printed out the 2015 tax brackets, estimated income tax brackets and rates. This is on a federal level. There are also most states in the United States we're talking about have also taxes there, and some cities, for example, New York City also has taxes. You're paying three times in some places, federal, state, and the city. So the federal rates start at 10%. Now, it also depends if you're filing as a single or married, or if you're married but you're filing separately. So there are a lot of requirements, a lot of computations. This is why we have so many accountants and tax attorneys, because they got to figure out the tax code, which is complex. So the rates range from as low as, ironically, 10% MICER, all the way up to 39.6%. Now, if you're in a state that has 10%, then you're at, that's 40%, that's 50%, and if you have city tax also, you're above 50%. So that's how the tax brackets work in the United States and likely other westernized countries. That depends on your income, you're paying more or less. It is not your choice which bracket you're in. You don't say, I'm going to decide to be in the 10% bracket or the 28% bracket. The law dictates, based on your income, which bracket you're going to be in. So the question is, in halacha, how do we work with our three tiers? The third of a shekel, $2, eight current shekel, shekel chadash, 10% and 20%. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Shi'ur nisinasa. This is in your Adea Siman Resh Mem Tes, Sif Aleph. How much tzedakah should you give? Im yado maseg yes yiten kifi tzorach anim. If you can afford it, give based on the needs of the needy. How much is that? As much as they need. What if it's more than 20%? What if
you can?
Yeah, you can and should, right? Yeah. If you can afford it, yiten. You should give based on the needs of the needy. But what if you can't supply the needs of everyone who needs help with their housing and tuition and medicine, etc.? What if you can't afford to supply the needs of everyone? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yiten ad chomesh nechasav. You should give up until 20% of your assets. Next time, Amir Tashem, we're going to discuss how the computation, is it assets or is it income in a given year? Or less than a given year. We'll get into that in Mir Tzashem. So here we see that the Shulchan Aruch, is he capping it at 20% or not capping it at 20%? Capping it if you can't afford to go over the cap. But if you can afford to go over the cap, you go over the cap.
It's not really capping.
Well, it's not really capping, right? You should give as much as the needs. However, if you can't afford to give all the needs, give at least 20%. Give 20% of your nechasa. Mitzvah mina mufchar. That's the ideal. 20% is the ideal. Ideal is to supply everyone's needs. Next is 20% mitzvah mina mufchar. Ve'echad me'asora. Giving 10% is mida beinonis. What's a mida beinonis? It's regular. It's like the average thing to do. You know, we oftentimes think that giving maser is like great, but based on the Shulchan Aruch, it's like a good thing, but it's an average thing to do. Pachos mikan ayin ra. Less than that is a stingy eye. That's stinginess. But at a minimum, the next halach in the Shulchan Aruch says, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, one has to give how much? Tzedakah, not meiser. $2. A third of the old time shkolim. That's the minimum. So where do we come out on the brackets based on the Shulchan Aruch? You have to give based on the needs. If you can't give based on the needs, you fall in the 20% bracket. You decide if you want to be 10%, 20%, or in between them. 20% is the ideal. That's a mitzvah, mina mufkar. 10% is average, and less than that is stinginess. But don't go below what? A third of a shekel. $2. Don't go below that. Now the Ramah makes the following comment, and we're going to have to understand what he's saying. We are not allowed to give more than chomesh, 20%. Shelo yitzarech lebrios. So we don't come to be needy ourselves. Is there a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, or is there not a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah?
Yes,
Kipshuto, there is a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. We're going to get back to this in a little bit. Yeah?
We said that actually you should not give 20% when you can afford more than 20%.
In the Shulchan Aruch?
Right.
That if you can afford, you should give more than 20%.
Right, but I had also an explanation that in the past days people were they had a custom to fast for their sins, and nowadays we do not fast, and therefore people give money for them. Therefore, when you like have many sins, you should even give more 20% of tzedakah, even you cannot afford.
Based on that, we should give everything, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, but that's not in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. That's not in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Yeah. Now there is an important opinion that says this cap of 20%. That does not apply if there are real urgent needs in the community. So the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnah says, for example, if there are shvuyim, if there are captives, people we have to do the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim, we have to redeem them out of jail. Not that they violated the law and that they're in jail, but they were taken as captives inappropriately, we would have to exceed, not have the mitzvah, we would be obligated to exceed the 20% cap. If there are re'evim or arumim, people don't have money for clothing, and they're coming to us for money, they don't have money for food, we also would have to exceed the 20%. And the Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat says, Shir mitzvah nisinat tzedakah ad chomesh minachasa mitzvah minamuchar. The ideal is giving 20%. V'yesh omim shebemakam sheyesh harbe anim. There's an opinion that if there are a lot of needy, ikar hamitzvah chomesh, we are obligated to give 20%. So there's an opinion that bumps up, that 20% isn't merely a good thing to do, a great thing to do, but it becomes an obligation if there are serious needs in society. What if I can't afford it? You have a quick question before that?
Yeah, I was just wondering where we draw the line for like needs, because I remember learning a while back, you have somebody like used to drive a Lexus and you can't afford it, you can pay for their Lexus.
Okay, it's a good question. We're going to get a little bit more into that next time, but in general, the standard is we should supply the needs based on the standard that an individual is used to. That's the concept. That if he's used to having meat 3 times a week, the mitzvah of tzedakah, day machzor asher yechzar lo, what is he lacking? He's lacking based on his standard that he's used to. Practically speaking, that typically doesn't come into play because there's such a need in society. There's so many people who have needs that we are allocating our tzedakah based on the priorities. So we're never, unfortunately, getting to that level of supplying the Lexus to somebody who used to have the Lexus but filed for bankruptcy because things went bad for him. What if I can't afford it? I've got 10 kids, 3 kids, whatever it is. The job doesn't pay enough to allow for additional income to go to tzedakah.
$2.
Who comes first? Ah, very good. So Teddy's saying, at a minimum, you got the $2. But what's my standard now for my opting out? I should come first, right? My family should come first?
Is it not?
So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Parnasas atzmo kodemes l'chol adam. Your parnasa, supplying your needs, comes first. It's like if you're on an airplane, and in the instructions at the beginning, you know where I'm going? There we go, Devin. What do they say? And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. They say if there's a problem with the oxygen and you're with people who need assistance, who do you put out the oxygen on first? Put the oxygen on yourself first. So you'll be able to put the oxygen on somebody else. If you're not going to put it on yourself first, you may not be able to help anyone else. So I think that may be the concept here. So the Ramah says, you come first. The Eino Chayav Lases Tzedakah Ad Shielo Parnasato, and you are not obligated to give tzedakah, meaning mice or 10% or 20%, until you have Kedei Parnasato, enough for your own livelihood. The question then is, how much is that? What standard do I have to adhere to? What needs do I supply to myself before I'm obligated to supply for anyone else? So the Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat says, ask this question. He says, this shear, the amount, I'm not clear on it. When we komakum at a minimum, we would be able to take care of our minimum basic needs. Food, clothing, and shelter. If we are only getting by and being able to pay for those amounts, we would not have to give 10% or 20%. He brings another opinion, the Tzur HaShai, that it says it all depends, it's a subjective standard. Depends on what somebody's used. He doesn't go into the detail what that means as to what's the standard, but I think we would be, what are you used to? What do you need? How many kids do you have? Are there special needs in the family? Etc., etc., etc. So it's not like we can give a black letter line to say who has to give 10%, 20%, and who doesn't. It's a really subjective standard. The Aruch HaShulchan brings this standard. What does that mean? That I have to make sure that I am taken care of and my family is taken care of first before I start giving 10% and 20%. The Parnasato Kodemes Hainu Be'ishe Enu Marviach Rak Lechem Tzaru Mayim Lachatz. We're talking about somebody who doesn't have to give 10 or 20% if he only earns enough for bread and water. Bread and water. So somebody who earns more than bread and water has to give 10 or 20%. But then he says something else. However, if you earn enough money to be a balabais chashuv, you're a gvir, right? You earn a lot of money, you earn enough money. You earn enough to put bread on the table, meat on the table. Other types of good food, you have enough for your clothing, lovesh, machsa asma karoy as necessary, vaday dechayev bitztok amayser achomesh. That is the person who has to give 10% or 20%. What's in the middle of those two?
Normal?
Right? In the middle of the two would be somebody who has an income coming, what's that? A bacher. No, that may be the bacher, may be the first standard. But hopefully, in the middle of those, we're saying on the one hand, if you only earn enough for bread and water, you don't have to give. But if you have great food on the table, you can afford what you got coming in, you can buy nice clothing, then you have to give 10 or 20%. Between the two of those are many people. A bainoni, people who they can't afford everything they need. They can afford most things they need. They have some food on the table. They're not eating meat 5-6 times a week because it's too expensive. Sometimes it's a purchase that they need but can't afford it. Very expensive jacket, whatever it is. But they don't have money for that. How about that category of person? So the Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat says he thinks that somebody who is like that, that is foregoing needs, not poor, but foregoing certain needs that would be a normal thing to buy in a given society, that person is not obligated to give 10 or 20%. Because the Rama tells us your parnasa comes first. So somebody who has money, has income coming in, but simply can't afford everything that would be normal in a given neighborhood, we have to go by the standard of that neighbor, that person would not be required to give maaser or chomesh. Yeah?
So I was just curious, is your family considered part of you, or are they an extension not considered you and sorry, and that are they considered giving tzedakah to your family, like my wife and kids? Is that part of my 10%?
Yeah, we saw in the Aruch HaShulchan, no.
How far does it's my a good question. Family that extend? My aunts and uncles, my cousins that also need to be supported. They're also my family, and then my 10% is outside of that.
It's an excellent question. There are two questions in that. One is, what is the priorities in tzedakah? And number two, and that's kind of related, is when can I apply the 10 or 20% to that? What are the uses and when can it come? It's a very difficult question for myself and my younger kids. That would not be my sir. We have a serious question. How about when the kids grow up that I'm not obligated to be supporting them? For example, if they want to stay learning in yeshiva, can I use the ma'aser or can I use the chomosh? And that's a very serious question, and I'm not going to answer those questions right now. Maybe we'll do a little bit back next time, although we probably won't have time. But those questions have to be asked. In general, giving to one's parents, that would be ma'aser, and the parents have a priority over other relatives. But first comes a person, family, then parents, close to relatives, and then we expand from there.
So the wife and kids wouldn't necessarily be, as long as they're still under your house.
As long as they're, it's a question, because Pete Dina the Gemara, it's up till 6 years old that we're required to. And the Gemara does say one who gives, who's giving to the children is a oset stuck of a choles. But typically we say it wouldn't be meister If it's the typical that those kids are supported up to a certain age, that's not meiser, even though the Gemara is six. But halachically, we're required nowadays to support kids based on how old they would be in society. And that is getting later and later. So we would also, and one other point, we would also depend on the ability of the person. If the person really can't afford to give to the kids, other than using kids, it's old grown-up kids, other than taking from the mice, so we have more flexibility. And we'll see that next time, Emir Tashem, that somebody who doesn't have the ability to give mice or chomesh easily will be able to change the computation and be more lenient based on how he should compute his mice or chomesh. So we'll get into that, Emir Tashem, next time. Okay, we touched on an issue. How about exceeding 20%? So we said that this seems to be a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Ramah says that 20% is a cap. One cannot exceed 20%. And the Shulchan Aruch was pretty clear that 20% is not a cap. If you can afford to go above the 20%, you should. You should, if there are needs in society. So Rav Moshe discusses this machlokas. And in the end of the day, he leaves the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam as a tzarach chiyum. We don't really paskin like that. He says we paskin like the Ramah, it's 20% cap. The Bavli that we saw, that Usha, they instituted, it's 20% as a cap. That's how we paskin. And he says, Sarachiyun, unclear how the Shulchan Aruch and Rambam can paskin against that. Gemara, the Minchas Yitzchak, also discusses this in Weiss, and he says that there's no machlokas here. He says the Ramah is simply qualifying the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that 20% is not a cap, and the Ramah is clarifying that if you can't afford to give more than 20%, you shouldn't, but if you can, you can exceed. So he says there's no machlokas there, but typically for B'nai Ashkenaz, we do have a cap of 20% that we would not exceed. Having said that, there are approximately six exceptions to that when even Ashkenazim would be permitted to exceed the 20% cap, and I'll just go through them real quickly. Upon death, for example, putting in somebody's will that I'm bequeathing half of my assets or a third of my assets, the plus can discuss how much can you really give. Is it a third? Is it half or more? But upon death, one would be permitted to give more than 20%. Why? What's the rationale for that? Not for supporting, so he's not going to put himself into the needy house because he's passing away or will have passed away already. So that's number one. Number two, depending on the need. If it's for the needs of learning, one could give more than 20%. Important yeshivas, for example, one could exceed the 20% cap. That would be number two. Number three, b'makom pikuach nefesh, to save lives. There's a real medical need that somebody, to save somebody's lives, pidyon shvuyim, redeeming captives, that would also, so that's number three. Number four, if there are poor people who don't have clothing and food in front of you, they're coming and asking, we could exceed 20%. Next, somebody who is very wealthy, also an Ashir Muflag can exceed 20%. Why? Because he's got a lot. So 20%, 25%, 30%. There's somebody in that I know that is a very wealthy guy. He gives 90%. 90%, and based on this header, he would be permitted to do that. He's an Asher Muflag, 90% he gives, 90%. And last, some poskim say that a little more would also be okay, as long as it's not taking away from your basic needs. Go a little bit above 20% is not going to put yourself into the danger zone. So let me quickly recap what we've been through today, and Emir Tashem Part B will be next week. We've talked about Meiser, and we've come out as follows, that there are brackets similar to the tax regimes in the U.S. and other westernized countries. However, our brackets, the way it works is it's volitional. It's not required. I decide, am I in the 10%, 20%, whichever it may be. But based on the Ramah, the 20% is a cap. It should not be exceeded unless it's one of the exceptions that we have. But it's still the ideal way to give tzedakah. Mida benonis, the average would be 10%. Less than that is considered stingy. At a bare minimum, it would be a third of a shekel, approximately $2, 8 shekel chadash nowadays. And Emir Tashem, when everyone gets out there in the workplace, we should remember that the revenues come in and we give tzedakah, but also by giving up tzedakah, we have a bracha based on the Gemara that the revenues will increase. Yeah?
The way the Rambam's explaining it, you seem to be comparing Masa Kesafim and tzedakah in terms of it goes to poor people. Could you take your Masa Kesafim and designate it to something else?
For give me an example. Because there are kedimas, and based on it, next time you're just in this a little foreshadowing, we are going to go further with the comparison. You're an accountant in the U.S.?
Yes.
Okay, so this looks like what?
Balance sheet. I can't see from
it. It looks like a 1099.
Oh, okay.
Just to bring back some bad memories, probably. So we are going to go and have further the comparison between the two. Comparing them, but at the end we will also see what are the proper places to give ma'aser. On a high level, we'll go through.
Because normal ma'aser in the Torah, depending on where you are in Shemitah, that's where you give it. So that comparison is not compared to.
En achinami, just the concept of the brackets, but the distribution of the funds would not be a parallel. It's not like we're paying it to the government that it's required. Hopefully, the government is giving it for purposes of needs and welfare in the society, although. Not necessarily. Okay, guys, have a great week. Amir Tashem, we will continue next week.
Rabbi, just a reminder that